You're listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Today on Recovery Buddies with David, we're going to talk about willingness, which is the essential trait that everyone must have to do the work that will bring about the change in personality and lifestyle that results in recovery. Everything begins with willingness. We hit rock bottom, find ourselves miserable and defeated. A lot of people in program refer to this as the gift of desperation. It's that feeling that you are in so much pain and suffering that you are willing to try almost anything. Even go to your first OA meeting and in front of total strangers admit that you have a problem with food, that your life has become unmanageable. Or so says the first of the 12 steps. I've heard some people in the program say that they came into their first meeting on their knees, not literally, but metaphorically, because their morale and emotions were so low. They were truly and utterly defeated. If you are new to OA or considering working the program and you feel that way about yourself, your body, your life, and how you relate to food, then know that what OA has to offer may very well be the solution that you have been looking for when it comes to living a better, healthier life. We all felt this kind of desolation in the beginning, but really, we are not defeated when we hit that rock bottom. We find willingness to try something new. We surrender our ego and open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts. This is a vulnerable time for many people, and I pray that everyone always finds their way to where they can find the support they need, even if that's someplace other than OA, so that they can begin the work of getting better. If you go to one meeting and find that the vibe and tone of the room and the people make you uncomfortable, then please try a different meeting. There are so many different virtual groups and meeting types out there. OA is a wide fellowship with a vast variety of personalities, and there is definitely a place for you if you are willing to seek it out. Like I said, the work begins with willingness. The other day, one of my sponsees told me that I'm a fantastic sponsor, which I will admit was flattering to hear and very kind of her to say, but I'm not anything special. At least not in a way that sets me apart from other people who come to OA. Higher Power doesn't think I'm better than anyone else, and neither do I. Because what I found in OA, the strength and the tools to change my life and become a better version of myself, one that is healthier and happier and far more active than when I was at my maximum weight, is something that anyone else can find if they are willing to do the work. I try my best to be helpful and positive in any meeting that I attend or with any sponsee that I work with, but the main thing that starts a person on their recovery journey, at least in this program, is willingness. If you are willing, then you will find the tools and methods in OA to change your life for the better and work towards the goals that you set for yourself. Both the goals that you have now and the ones that you have yet to discover. In the beginning, when we start to define our abstinence, we don't yet know what our meal plan will look like, and we are not sure what an action plan is. Heck, we haven't even memorized the Serenity Prayer. One piece of advice I would offer to you, dear listener, if you are new, is something that was said to me at the start of my recovery, and it proved to be essential to my finding my way to abstinence and then maintaining it. I was told to be gentle with myself. And I say it to all of you now, when you are starting out, be gentle with yourself. And by that, I mean that when you make a mistake, or you misunderstand something, or you have a slip when it comes to either your food or action plan, remember that you are human, and therefore not perfect. Do not beat yourself up. Do not use negative language when you talk about yourself or think about yourself. Stay away from words that put you down and cut your legs out from under you. There are already so many jerks out there in the world who are going to say mean things. There's no need to add your own negative energy and thoughts to that tangled up mess we call social interactions. Instead, have the willingness to see your mistakes as opportunities to learn about yourself, and not just in those first months, but throughout the entirety of your recovery journey, from now until your journey's end, wherever or whenever that may be. Look at your mistakes and shortcomings as ways to learn and work towards becoming a better version of yourself. Because that better version comes into existence through your willingness to make healthy choices and work for what you want your life to be. Can I promise you that all your dreams will come true? Of course not. That phrase, all your dreams, is an infinitive statement, and no one can promise you that. I have no power over anyone or anything in this world except for myself, and that too is something that you must be willing to accept. You are not weak. You do have power, the power of choice, to choose who you want to be and the kind of life you want to have. I cannot promise you what the end results of all your efforts will be, but I can tell you, speaking for myself, that the willingness to work towards a better life is so much more fulfilling than the life I was leading at my maximum weight. So when you make a mistake, examine if the mistake is a result of your own making. If it is, then that's an opportunity to reflect on why you did what you did. Ask yourself, what really motivated you to make that mistake and slip up? Why didn't you do something different? And next time, what are you willing to do different to keep the mistake from happening again? If you slipped up because of someone else doing something to you, like a person being rude to you at the supermarket, for example, then you can journal about it and meditate on how that person made you feel, why you felt that way, and then turn it over to your higher power so that it doesn't take root in you and become a resentment that continues to upset you in future days. That is easily said, and at first it can be difficult to do, but like anything in life, the more you put into it, then the more you will get out of it. Or, to put it another way, the more you practice doing something, the better you will become at doing it. So even if you find examining your feelings and thoughts difficult, or you find yourself struggling to surrender things to a higher power of your choosing, don't worry. Working those tools gets easier over time. An author who I admire greatly because he writes excellent multiverse fantasy adventure novels once wrote, "To learn and grow, a person must see and solve their own problems. That makes the life lessons stick the best." I'm actually paraphrasing him a bit there, but I think you see the point. When we understand what our problems are and solve them ourselves, then the lesson learned sticks better than it would if someone were to explain it to us. That's why there is no external quick fix to our problems. The solution must come from ourselves individually working on our character defects and resentments. There are a number of people who balk at the 12-step programs, at the first three steps in particular, because of the mention of a higher power and God. For this reason, there is a whole chapter in the Big Book of AA devoted to atheists and the topic of feeling uncomfortable with relying on a power greater than yourself. But there are many people who are believers and practitioners of faith that find it difficult to rely on a higher power for various reasons of their own. Maybe the religious faith they were indoctrinated into did not present God as someone that they can relate with. Or maybe they had a traumatic experience with an authority figure in their past, or with a friend, or a family member. Often when we experience betrayals and injuries from people we trusted, those events spoil our opinions about a higher power. That's very understandable, and I think at one point or another, most people have been angry at God or the concept of God because of what has happened to them in their lives. It is one more thing that unites us, a hardship and resentment that we can share across the fellowship. How then to overcome such an obstacle to work on making our lives better? Well, answer, through your willingness to work on yourself by using the tools of the program. If you are willing to listen, read, and evaluate the tools of recovery, then you will discover ways to make them your own, to use them each day to provide yourself with a way forward, out of the resentments holding you in place, keeping you stuck in misery. That's how you start to change your life, because you get to choose how you perceive your higher power. It is your choice. I always use the phrase, the higher power of my choosing, when I'm asked to speak at a meeting, because I find it has a wonderful defensive quality in protecting me from skepticism and criticism. I make clear that I am enacting my own choices, ones that work for me, that help me advance towards my goals, and I am comfortable with them, while at the same time, I hope people who come into the rooms for the first time know that no one there is going to force them to believe in a particular form of worship. Recovery is about you and your life, not a church, not a religion. There is an entry in the Daily Reader, Voices of Recovery, that is relevant to both willingness and the discomfort that people feel towards the spiritual elements of the program. The entry begins with a quote from the OA 12 and 12 book, which states, quote, "We had to replace our old ideas about God with a faith that worked," end quote. Then the author of the entry writes, "My old ideas of God were primarily from religious school. God was there to punish, very much like a parent." There are plenty of religious texts, stories, and movies out there that showcase God as an entity that punishes. Some of my favorite George Carlin comedy bits address this very issue. So it's easy to understand that if you are someone whose perception of higher power is of a punisher, then you would be reluctant to enact the 12 steps, perhaps especially number 2 and 3, when you are brand new. But the entry from Voices of Recovery is not about a punishing God. It is about how, when you enact your own choices, you will discover that there is great hope and strength to be found in this program. The entry continues in the next paragraph. "It was in writing and sharing with my sponsor that I became willing to see God in other ways. In the morning, I asked God for guidance, but I know my higher power is not going to prepare breakfast, lunch, and dinner for me. I ask him for the strength and wisdom to act by making healthy choices. God is my guide and source of hope that the obsession will be lifted each day." I would like to highlight that the author is only asking for guidance. They do not have the expectation that God is going to prepare their meals, and they ask for the strength and wisdom to act, which clearly shows that this person knows that they have to do the work. They have to have the willingness to make choices and follow through. That is how we begin to advance towards our goals. Like the author of this entry, I too begin my day with a prayer to the higher power of my choosing. In my prayer, I ask to be sustained so that I can continue to work towards my goals. I do not expect God to whammy me with a magic wand or loose a lightning bolt from his big hands in the sky that, upon striking me, will transform my body into that of a male supermodel complete with comic book rippling muscles. I am not Shazam or He-Man, and I wouldn't want to be. Instead, God zaps away the compulsions and shows me the way to settle and quiet my mind so that I can be about the work of making my life the way I choose it to be. This means advancing towards all my goals, not just the ones that relate to weight loss. I act each day doing things that advance me towards those goals because I am willing to enact as many of the OA tools as I can. But the 12 steps and this program by extension are not just about finding a way to abstain from food. This program is a means to become more self-aware. The point is to learn about yourself and to find the healing and recovery you want to change your life for the better. Sometimes it is slow, other times it will seem rather fast. But progress and healing comes for those who are willing to be consistent and honest with themselves. One of the biggest mistakes that I think people can make when it comes to willingness is that they mistake being open to trying what sponsors and people in the rooms suggest as capitulation. In my opinion, the concept of surrender within program is not an act of capitulation, but rather a handing over of baggage. I have character defects, resentments made up of fears and angers, and these things make me unhappy, and I want to surrender or hand over these resentments and defects to my higher power. I don't surrender them to any person in program, and my willingness does not mean that I become obedient to the program or any person other than myself. Surrender means that I can stop following the compulsions that make me unhealthy and miserable. I value my mind above almost everything else, and I am never going to stop thinking for myself. I see my work within the program as a collection of partnerships. I partner with my sponsor, with my sponsees, with my higher power, and with the friends I have made in the fellowship. I am willing to respect the people in program, to accept them for who they are, and I expect them to give me the same acceptance and respect in return. I hold space for them so that they can share what they need to talk about in meetings, and I would never censor anyone, so no one should ever censor me. But I am still the one making choices. I am the one who must put my willingness into action. But I do not have to be alone when I do this, because I work with people in OA and with higher power. So, if you find yourself in a meeting listening to people who are, shall we say, a bit too cultish or bossy, then that's not the place for you. And there is no wrong in leaving that meeting and finding another one where you do feel safe, secure, and feel a resonance with the people in attendance, because that is where you will be willing to thrive, and you will be able to continue doing the work, one day at a time, all the way to your goals. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. I thank you for listening and hope that you enjoyed what I had to say. Remember, dear listener, you, me, and everyone in this fellowship is worthy of recovery. You can have a relationship with food that leads to a healthy body. You are worthy of that. All it takes is time, consistency, and willingness. I'll talk to you next time, buddy. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing to the podcast and leaving a review. If you'd like to send us an email, then write to hp3rpodcast@gmail.com. Remember to tune in on Thursdays for episodes of Daily Dose of Recovery, and check back on Mondays for future episodes of Recovery Buddies with David. You've been listening to HP3R, Higher Power Ranger Recovery Radio. All recovery, all the time.